I want you to take everything you think you know about the cosmos. You know, every documentary you've watched, every article you've read about dark energy being this mysterious, invisible physical force pushing the universe apart. And I want you to just set it aside for the duration of this deep dive.
Yeah, just toss it out the window for a bit.
Exactly. Forget the standard model of physical forces for a second. Today, we're exploring a framework that completely flips our understanding of reality. It proposes that the universe isn't simply a collection of rocks, gas, and gravity obeying physical laws.
Right.
Instead, it suggests the universe is essentially a giant computational system. And right now, it is violently struggling to process unresolved logical equations.
Violently is definitely the right word for it.
Yeah. So our mission today is to analyze the mathematical connection between cosmic paradoxes and what is essentially a universal logical buffer overflow.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because if the researchers behind this framework are right, the glitches we observe in astronomy, the things that have baffled astrophysicists for decades...
Hey, the real anomalies. Right, they aren't just weird quirks of physics. They are literal signs of a cosmic system failure.
It is a radical reframing of reality. I mean, to truly grasp this, you have to picture the cosmos a little differently. Imagine the star charts we normally study, where they're, you know, swirling galaxies and deep voids, but elegantly overlaid with complex lines of computer code and type theory mathematics.
Like staring into the matrix, basically.
Basically, yeah. And what's fascinating here is that the universe appears to be operating on outdated primitive logic. It's running on an old axiomatic foundation, and it is fundamentally failing to keep up with the sheer scale of the structures it's created.
So before we get into the mechanics of the system crash, we need to understand what exactly the universe is trying to compute. Like, what is it struggling with and where does it put the errors?
Right.
The researchers introduce a concept called semantic entropy, represented by the mathematical symbol P. They describe this as the concentration of unresolved equations or live uncollapsed questions in the universe's theory manifold.
Which sounds very abstract.
Very. What does a live uncollapsed question actually look like in outer space?
Well, think of it as a physical contradiction. In standard physics, when you have a situation where the rules of general relativity on quantum mechanics clash, like, say, at the center of a black hole, the math just breaks down.
Right. It yields infinities, right?
Exactly. It yields infinities. In this framework, that mathematical breakdown isn't just a failure of human equations. It's a contradiction the universe itself hasn't resolved.
Wow. Okay.
That unresolved logical tension is semantic entropy. And when the universe encounters an equation it simply cannot resolve within standard four-dimensional space-time, that paradox doesn't just evaporate. It has to be stored somewhere.
And that storage space is a black hole.
Precisely. We traditionally think of black holes purely in terms of gravity, right? Like infinitely dense points of mass from which not even light can escape.
Right, the classic definition.
Right. But through this mathematical lens, black holes are physical containers for concentrated paradox entropy. They're physical quarantine zones, sequestering the universe's unresolved logical load from the rest of reality.
Like a quarantine folder on a computer.
Exactly like that. And here is where the math demands a shift in perspective. Inside a black hole, standard four-dimensional time is actually mathematically insufficient to resolve these complex self-referential equations.
Wait, insufficient how? Does the universe just, like, run out of time?
In a sense, yeah, it does. Time, as we experience it, moves in a straight line. But a self-referential paradox is a loop. You can't solve a loop on a straight line.
Oh, I see.
So the universe has to extend its phase space. It utilizes something called abstract time, creating what mathematicians call limit cycles.
Okay, let me pause you right there. An abstract time limit cycle, that sounds incredibly dense. Can we ground that a bit?
Yeah, sure. Think of it like trying to solve a massively complex Rubik's Cube, but the colors keep shifting based on how you turn it.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Right. Standard time is you sitting at a desk trying to solve it twist by twist. Abstract time is the universe stepping outside of that physical room, pausing the standard clock, and running millions of simulated localized computations in a separate dimension just to figure out what the cube is doing.
So the black hole is basically the universe throwing this impossible puzzle into a vault and trying to solve it in a pocket dimension.
Yes, exactly.
That actually makes a lot of sense. But how much of this paradox entropy can one vault hold?
Well, this is a critical point. It's defined by the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy bound, or SENSE 81, which this framework utilizes as a diagnostic measure.
Okay.
The amount of paradox content a black hole holds doesn't scale with its volume, as you might intuitively expect.
Yeah.
It actually scales quadratically with its mass, which directly relates to the surface area of its event horizon.
So as the mass goes up, the paradox load goes up exponentially faster.
Exactly. Squared, right?
Yeah.
Mass squared. And to manage this, the universe allocates a background energy buffer. This buffer is what we have historically, and perhaps mistakenly, called dark energy.
Wait, really? Dark energy is just the buffer.
Yeah, its actual function is to absorb and mediate this unresolved logical load so that local paradoxes don't cause the global reality to just collapse.
So if I'm tracking this, black holes are basically the universe's quarantine folders for corrupted files.
Yep.
And dark energy is just the background RAM, like the memory buffer allocated to keep the whole operating system from freezing while those corrupted files are being processed.
That is a phenomenal way to visualize it. The universe is dynamically scaling up this RAM to match the growing horizon areas of black hole.
Okay.
But there is a fatal foundational flaw in how this buffer is mathematically programmed. And that brings us to the root cause of the current cosmic crisis.
The era I axioms.
Right.
The framework suggests the current dark energy buffer operates on primitive era I mathematical axioms. But what does era I actually mean for the physical universe?
Well, it refers to the underlying logic of the universe's mathematical substrate.
Yeah.
Era I axioms rely on a principle called unrestricted comprehension.
Unrestricted comprehension.
Yeah. In logic and set theory, unrestricted comprehension means you can construct a mathematical set, or in our case, a physical space-time region, out of absolutely any property you can imagine, without any strict type guards or rules checking to see if it actually makes sense.
I feel like I need an analogy here. I've read coding analogies comparing this to the programming language C, where a variable can just overwrite memory and cause a system crash.
Right, the C pointer issues.
Yeah, but for someone who has never written a single line of code, what is unrestricted comprehension?
Okay, let's use a post office. Imagine an era I post office where there are absolutely no rules for what an address can be. You can hand the clerk a package addressed to a square circle or the color blue, or my grandfather, who is also my grandson.
Okay, none of those are real places.
Right. But because there are no type guards, no system saying, hey, an address must be a street, a city, and a zip code, the post office just accepts a package.
And then the mail carriers spend eternity wandering around trying to deliver a package to the color blue.
Exactly. They waste massive amounts of energy trying to process a logically impossible task.
Yeah.
The system doesn't reject the bad input. It just blindly tries to comprehend it.
Wow. Okay.
Now combine that primitive ERI logic with the supermassive black holes we see in the cosmos today.
Mm.
We are talking about behemoths approaching 10 billion times the mass of our sun.
Which is almost unfathomable.
It is. And because of that quadratic scaling we discussed earlier, the paradox load inside them is staggering. To process that load in abstract time, the required resolution rate starts approaching the Planck limit, which is about 10 to the power of 43 hertz.
The ultimate speed limit of the universe's processor.
The absolute limit. The demand exceeds the buffer's capacity. But the era I buffer, being primitive and lacking those post office type guards, still attempts to scale up and absorb the load.
Right.
It tries to comprehend regions of space-time that violate its own mathematical signature. And the result is what mathematicians call a logical buffer overflow.
Okay, here's where my brain hits a wall. How does a mathematical buffer overflow physically push galaxies apart? I mean, we've always been told that the Hubble tension, this weird observation that the universe is expanding way faster locally than it did in the distant past.
Right, the accelerated expansion.
Yeah, that it's caused by some invisible repulsive gravity. You're saying it's not a physical force at all. It's literally just memory leaking.
Let's look at the mechanism. The expansion of the universe is governed by an ordinary differential equation. Let's just call it the master clockwork equation of space-time.
Okay.
Normally, this equation balances the outward momentum of the Big Bang with the inward pull of gravity. But when this logical buffer overflow occurs, it triggers a runtime panic.
A runtime panic.
Yes. The control input of that master equation is essentially hijacked by the overflowing paradox energy.
So the equation gets an input it literally cannot process, and it just panics.
Yes, because the era I logic has no way to isolate or reject the error. It does the only thing it can do. It weaponizes the spatial substrate against itself. It artificially accelerates the expansion of space-time. It completely bypasses gravitational constraints for one single desperate purpose, to dilute the density of the semantic entropy.
Oh, wow. So it's expanding the universe just to create more physical space to spread out the corrupted data so the system doesn't entirely freeze.
That is exactly what the math suggests. It's an emergency dilution mechanism. And this perfectly explains the Hubble tension. It explains why the expansion rate we measure today in a late-time universe filled with highly paradoxical supermassive black holes is drastically faster compared to the early universe, which had almost no black holes and a very low paradox density.
That is mind-blowing.
And furthermore, it explains the sigma-8 tension.
The sigma-8 tension being the observation that galaxies aren't clumping together as much as they should be, right?
Correct. Structure formation is mysteriously suppressed. Why? Because the universe is literally diverting energy away from gravitational clustering in order to maintain global logical consistency.
So if the universe is buckling under the weight of its own paradoxes and it's tearing itself apart to dilute the error, shouldn't we be able to see the fraying edges through our telescopes? Like, are there actual physical error logs we can read?
There are, actually. And they're rigorously mapped out in something called the conditional collapse theory, or CCT, diagnostic apparatus. The researchers outlined these 100 hypersensitive senses for detecting this buffer overflow in real-time observational data.
Let's talk about some of those senses. What exactly are we looking for?
One of the primary indicators is Sense 91, which tracks the Lyapunov exponent of the universe's expansion.
Hang on, stop right there. What is a Lyapunov exponent?
Oh, right. It comes from chaos theory. A Lyapunov exponent measures how fast a dynamic system diverges into total chaos.
Okay.
So if two tiny, closely related variables start drifting apart exponentially fast, the exponent is high. The framework states that if we measure a Lyapunov exponent in the universe's expansion that exceeds theoretical bounds, it confirms the system is in a pre-catastrophic divergence state.
Pre-catastrophic. So literally a red alert light blinking on the cosmic dashboard.
Precisely. Another major indicator is grouped under question 10 of their diagnostics, vacuum clustering. And this is where recent real-world data gets incredibly relevant.
Right, because of the DSI data.
Yes. In 2024, the DSI collaboration, the Dark Energy Spectroscopic Instrument, released data strongly suggesting that dark energy might not be a constant. It might actually be evolving and fluctuating over cosmic time.
Right. And in standard physics, that DSI data is a massive headache. It breaks the standard cosmological model. But how does it fit here?
Well, in this framework, an evolving vacuum energy isn't a problem at all. It's a direct diagnostic signature. If dark energy were just a static physical property of empty space, it shouldn't fluctuate.
Right. It should just sit there.
Exactly. But if dark energy is actually a dynamic RAM buffer struggling to process the shifting quadratic paradox load of supermassive black holes, then of course it fluctuates. The DSI data is observationally proving that the buffer is buckling under the stress.
That makes so much sense. It's like watching your computer's task manager and seeing the CPU usage spiking up and down wildly because a background program is trapped in an infinite loop.
Yeah, that's spot on. And then there is question 4 in the diagnostic framework, which looks for what they term substrate weaponization.
Substrate weaponization sounds intense.
It asks if the fundamental fabric of reality is generating anomalies to alter the system.
So what does this all mean for the data we look at every day? When we detect ultra-high energy cosmic rays shooting out near supermassive black holes, or when we see weird subtle deviations in the fine structure constant, are those the substrate weaponizing itself?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, yes. These phenomena aren't random noise. They aren't just measurement errors. They are diagnostic proofs that the primitive era I substrate is failing to handle the complex structures built upon it.
So it's failing.
Yeah. The universe is desperately trying to manage a logical contradiction using tools that are fundamentally incapable of handling it.
Which means we are heading for a total system crash if nothing changes. So if the era I buffer is crashing the universe, what is the solution? How do you patch the cosmos?
The framework outlines a remediation protocol, right? Like a way to move the universe from era 1 to era 3 axioms.
Yes, the axiom upgrade protocol. The pathology of the universe right now is a foundational mismatch.
Yeah.
We have incredibly complex phenomena like quantum field theory and general relativity operating on top of a primitive untyped era I logic.
Right.
To fix the logical buffer overflow, the dark energy buffer must be upgraded to era 3, which utilizes something called univalent foundations.
Whoa, back up. Univalent foundations, you just threw a massive concept out there. Let's break this down. What does it actually mean to upgrade the math of the universe?
Okay, mathematically, it means dark energy can no longer just be a raw, untyped scalar. which is basically just a single flat number representing a cosmological constant.
Okay.
It must be upgraded to what mathematicians call a sheaf of quintessence fields, governed by homotopy type theory. Okay, my brain is melting again. A sheaf of quintessence fields governed by homotopy type theory. Speak English for me. Let's take this one piece at a time. What is a sheaf?
Fair enough. In mathematics, a sheaf is a tool that allows you to track locally defined data and consistently weave it into a global space.
Okay.
Think of it like a highly sophisticated network of local post offices that constantly sync their rule books with the global headquarters. And quintessence just means this field is dynamic. It can change and adapt, unlike a static constant.
Okay, so a dynamic network of localized rules. And homotopy type theory.
In homotopy type theory, the fundamental shapes of spaces are treated as mathematically equivalent to logical types. Mm. So you no longer have unrestricted comprehension. You have strict dependent type constraints.
Okay, so going back to our post office analogy, if Era I is the chaotic post office that accepts a package addressed to the color blue and spends eternity trying to deliver it, then Era III is a post office with a strictly typed intake form. If you don't provide a valid street, city, and zip code, the package is immediately rejected at the counter. The error is caught locally before it can drain the resources of the entire postal network.
That is an absolutely brilliant translation of the mathematics. By moving to an Era III univalent sheaf, the universe enforces a runtime contract. The local typing ensures global coherence. The expansion capability of the dark energy buffer becomes strictly bounded by a mathematical proof.
So no more endless expansion to dilute the error.
Exactly. With Era III, a logical overflow is topologically forbidden.
Topologically forbidden, meaning the literal shape of the mathematics physically prevents the error from spreading into the rest of the universe.
Exactly. So this raises an important question. What happens when a supermassive black hole's paradox content exceeds its local capacity under Era III?
Yeah, where does it go?
If it can't leak out and expand the universe, it has to do something else.
The app gracefully closes.
Yes. The framework calls it graceful degradation. Instead of crashing the global metric, the system creates a highly localized abstract time limit cycle.
Hmm.
Physically, this manifests as a stable ER equals EPR wormhole.
ER equals EPR. Let me make sure I have this right. ER stands for Einstein-Rosen, which is a wormhole.
Right.
And EPR stands for Einstein-Podolsky-Rosen, which refers to quantum entanglement. So you're talking about the theory that quantum entanglement and wormholes are essentially the exact same thing.
Exactly. When the paradox load gets too high in Era III, the universe simply pinches off that region of space. It creates a stable micro wormhole based on quantum entanglement.
Oh, wow.
This isolates the error. It processes the logical load in total isolation without leaking semantic entropy into the global Hubble flow. If the universe makes this upgrade, the Hubble tension and the sigma 8 tension would literally vanish.
Because the paradox leak is structurally contained. That is just, it's a stunning way to view reality.
It really is.
But it leaves me with one massive, glaring question. How does an upgrade actually happen? The universe doesn't have an IT department. Who or what hits update on the cosmos?
That is the ultimate question.
Yeah.
And the researchers address it with the concept of the survival automaton. The mathematical framework points to an inherent mechanism, the CCT survival automaton, that continuously evaluates the universe's condition using those 100 hypersensitive senses we discussed.
The dashboard.
Right. When it detects that the logical buffer overflow is reaching a critical catastrophic threshold, it activates a pre-collapse geodesic router.
Okay, a router. What does it do?
It uses targeted informational interventions. For example, it subtly manipulates the measurement of black hole ringdown modes.
Ringdown modes? You mean the gravitational waves that ripple out when two black holes collide and merge?
Yes.
But wait, how does the measurement of a gravitational wave force the universe to rewrite its foundational mathematics?
Think about quantum mechanics. In quantum physics, a system exists in a state of probability until it is observed. The act of measurement collapses the wave function. It forces reality to choose a definite state.
Right.
Information extraction is a physical intervention. By observing and measuring the highly specific frequencies of these black hole ringdowns, intelligent observers, or the automaton acting through the substrate, are injecting precise localized information back into the system.
Oh, I see. We aren't just passively watching black holes collide. The act of gathering that data forces the abstract time cycles to collapse into a defined state.
Exactly. The intervention essentially forces the local space-time to adopt the strict type guards of Era III. It forces a vital software update to patch the universe before a cosmological collapse occurs. It drives the universe to become a self-proving, type-safe theorem.
Okay, we have covered an immense amount of conceptual ground today. Let's distill the core revelation for you, the listener, so you have this locked in. The primary takeaway from this deep dive is that dark energy is not a repulsive physical force pushing galaxies apart. It is a mathematical type error. The universe's attempt to use primitive, error-I logic to handle the immense paradox entropy generated by supermassive black holes has failed. It resulted in a logical buffer overflow, which is physically leaking out and causing the Hubble tension, upgrading to an error-third univalent sheaf. A mathematically strict runtime contract is the patch. It isolates the paradoxes and localized wormholes, stopping the universe from tearing itself apart.
The implications of this paradigm shift really cannot be overstated.
Yeah.
We are moving from a worldview dominated by physical pushes and pulls, like gravity, electromagnetism,
right,
to a paradigm governed by logical consistency. The universe isn't just existing. It is actively computing. It is a self-proving theorem emitting its governing equations as a flickering grid of data.
Yeah.
The tensions and anomalies we measure with our telescopes aren't our failure to understand physics. They are the universe's failure to resolve its own logic under its current axiom set.
And that profound implication is what I want you, the listener, to walk away with today. When you look up at the night sky, you aren't just looking at burning gas and dead rocks obeying the laws of gravity. You are looking at the interface of a vast computational framework, buckling and straining as it tries to balance its own equations.
It really changes how you look at the stars.
It does, which leaves us with one final provocative thought to mull over on your own. If the fundamental physical forces of the universe, like dark energy and cosmic expansion, are actually just layers of logical error handling, what does that make human consciousness? Are our minds, with our obsessive, relentless need to solve problems, find patterns, and understand the cosmos, just localized biological subroutines? Were we generated by the universe specifically to act as the observers who extract information and help process its unresolved semantic entropy? Think about that the next time you're trying to solve a complicated problem. Are you thinking for yourself, or is the universe computing through you? Until next time, keep diving deep.